John chapter 6 and verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Please hold that thought in mind. Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Now I turn to chapter number 1 of the book of Philippians. I begin at verse number 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always and ever prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this one thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. Now I call your attention to verse number 6 for my thought tonight, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a for my thought tonight, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Now the word perform in this sense means to finish. And I want to read it like that. Now you notice carefully. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Will finish it.
Right.
Tonight I choose to preach, he is able to finish it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let us praise the Lord tonight
Amen. For
his goodness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated now. The Lord bless you. Now I want to also turn to the second chapter of the book of Revelation and to lay a foundation for our study tonight. I want to notice some things. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I want to preach tonight a message of encouragement, a message of hope, a message of faith. He is able to finish that which he has begun. I'd be a very foolish man tonight to stand in this pulpit and to preach to you the glory of the early church, to preach to you that it was by his authority, that it was by his wisdom, it was by his power that he established and built a New Testament church, unless I believed that he is able to take that church from the beginning and finish the work and finally take that church into the glory world on high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The work that he has begun in you, he is able to finish that work. Now I want you to note carefully that after Jesus had fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, immediately they said, What can we do that we might work the work of God?
And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Right.
When you make your start for God, in you there is faith. In you there is a belief in God.
Right.
That's the work of God.
Right.
When you believe him, that is the work of God.
Yes.
Now, when anyone tells you that the individual has nothing to do with your salvation, they are telling you an absolute untruth.
Right.
We do have something to do with our salvation. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Jesus said, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Right.
But he that believeth not shall be damned.
Right.
When you express a belief in God, when you express a faith in God, you are expressing to God that he has begun a work in you.
Right.
He has begun a work in you.
Right.
When you come to God and receive the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues, when you are baptized in that lovely, high, exalted name of Jesus Christ,
hallelujah,
that work is not finished. That's only the beginning of
right.
your work.
Right.
But one day it will be finished. Hallelujah.
Right.
I'm preaching tonight that sin is a very progressive thing. Also, I'm preaching that salvation is a very progressive thing.
Sure.
Holiness is a progressive thing.
Right.
The scripture said, Hebrews 12 and 14, to follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord.
Right.
That word follow means to pursue holiness,
right,
to seek after holiness. Follow holiness. Get in the pathway of holiness and follow holiness. Hallelujah. Because without it, the scripture said, no man will ever be able to see the Lord.
Amen. Amen, amen.
If somehow I could convey this message as I feel it on my heart tonight, some are under the impression that when they come to the foot of Calvary, when they find Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Ghost, that they have finished their course. That's not true. You've only enrolled in the school of Jesus Christ.
Right.
When Paul got ready to die, he said, I have finished my course.
Right.
I have fought the fight. I have kept the faith. And henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that fadeth not away.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There will be an end to the course.
Uh-huh.
But we, when you come to God, when I came to God, when we came to the foot of Calvary, that was only the beginning of the work of God in your heart.
Right.
When you came believing on him as the scripture has said.
Amen.
We have believed on him whom he hath sent.
Sure.
I don't know how it is now, but in Sunday school they used to give you stars,
yes,
by your name. If you were absent, or if you knew your lesson, if you read so many chapters, different colored stars.
Yes.
Now, there was a day in public school when they did that.
Uh-huh.
And one day, a little boy brought his report card home, and all the other subjects had a star by the side of it. And one subject had a zero. His daddy said, explain that to me. There's no star here. He was a very quick thinker. He said they run out of stars and they give me the moon. But now that might not have been the best answer, but that was an answer the little boy gave his dad. Listen, friend, let me tell you, we're going to school tonight. That's right, we're going to school. And Jesus is the teacher. You see, somebody thinks that when they pray through, that they know it all and they've learned it all with one trip to the altar. I've been in this for near 50 years, and I learned something about God every day of my life. I learn something about Him every time I go to church.
Right.
I get a new glimpse of God.
Right.
I get a new glimpse of Him. And I'll tell you why. Because He is the teacher. Not only was He a prophet, but He was the greatest of teachers. The Bible said, and He taught the people. Hallelujah.
Right.
He taught the people. Let me tell you, my friend, we're in school tonight. We have not received as yet our diploma, but one day we will receive that diploma, and our course will be finished.
That's right.
I heard about the young man. When he finished college, he took his sheepskin under his arm, and he said, I'm going out to Mecca. He said, I'm going to start at the bottom, and I'm going to the top.
Yes.
And he walked into an office, and he told the man, he said, here is my diploma from college. He said, I want a job. He said, I'm going to start at the bottom, and I'm going to the top. The man said, you're in the wrong place. He says, this is a well-drilling company. He said, we start at the top and go to the bottom. So he said, you're in the wrong place. Listen, let me tell you, we've all started at the bottom. We all started down here, but we're going under. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're in the school of Jesus. We have not finished our course as yet, but one day we will finish our course. We will get our diploma one day when we hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord prepared to you from the foundation of the world. When we present ourselves before Him, we will receive that diploma. We finished our course. We have fought the fight. Hallelujah. And we will receive a crown of life that will never fade away.
Right.
Hallelujah. Now, I want you to note some things tonight as I go along.
Hallelujah.
I love this subject. I love what I'm preaching about tonight. And I want to try to show you some things of the beginning of the church. Now, I'm very concerned about the beginning. And I'm also concerned about the ending.
Right.
I thank God that I had a good beginning in the church.
Hallelujah.
I never made any religious profession in my life. I was never baptized. I was never dipped. I was never poured. I was never sprinkled. Not anything. Never prayed. I never went to Sunday school. None of these things until somebody came my way preaching the old-time apostolic Pentecostal gospel.
Hallelujah.
They preached it in the Bush Arbor style,
right. The
calico style,
yes.
Heaven high, hell deep, gun barrel straight. They did not compromise.
Uh-huh.
They preached it.
Right.
And when I fell on the altar, I had nothing to repent of but my sins.
Uh-huh.
I knew nothing about religion. And when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins, then I had a good start. I never had to come out of any church. I never had to sacrifice any doctrine. I just walked out of darkness into light. I walked out of sin into holiness. Hallelujah. I walked out of the world into the family of God, and I had a good start. I had a good start. Hallelujah. But listen, that's not all there is to what I'm preaching about tonight. A good beginning, a good start is one of the finest things that you'll ever have. But we must have a good ending. We must have a successful ending.
Right.
Hallelujah. I want to point out five things that the early church had. Now, the early church, they had five things. Number one, they had faith. Number two, they had truth.
Uh-huh.
Number three, they had that strength of grace. Number four, they had zeal. Number five, they had that love of the brethren.
Uh-huh.
Pick up your Bible and read the history of the early church. They had zeal. They had faith. They had truth. They had grace. They had love
right.
One for another. And I'm going to tell you tonight, this whole idea that the church must find itself a weakling in this generation, I don't go in for that. I believe the church ought to be stronger tonight than it's ever been. To stand up against sin and against the devil and against false doctrines and preach Christ and Him crucified and tell men that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. To preach Him as He really is. That was what the early church did. They had a good beginning. If we are to have a successful ending, if we are to receive that diploma on the other side, if we are to say like Paul, I finished my course, and henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, we must embrace the things the early church embraced. We must believe what they believed and preach what they preached. Hallelujah. I don't preach frills and gadgets and gimmicks. I preach the gospel.
All right.
But this is a generation of fads. I think we can all understand that. About the latest I've heard is people talking to flowers. I never heard of such a thing in my life. Talking to flowers, and they criticize us for talking to Jesus Christ. Now, wouldn't I feel stupid to walk out to a rose bush and say, now, come on, honey, and bloom for Daddy. Talking to flowers. Can you imagine a thing like that? My God, let me talk to Jesus Christ. I want somebody that can talk back to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to talk to flowers. I want to talk to Jesus Christ. For He's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Hallelujah. And when I talk to Him, He'll talk back to me. Then a fellow saw his neighbor out one day in his fire garden spreading newspapers on the ground. He walked over and said, what's going on? He said, I've talked to these flowers long enough. I'm going to put the newspaper out here and let them do their own reading for a while. And then they criticize us for talking to Jesus Christ. Oh, let me talk to Him tonight. Hallelujah. Yes. Let me talk to Him tonight. Listen, let me tell you, Christ has been hidden behind mountains of words. Multitudes of words. It's time tonight to come down the earth and preach the simplicity of the gospel and to declare unto men the power of Jesus Christ and declare that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Preach Him as He is. Hallelujah. The church had a good beginning. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, I quote, Jesus said in Bar Peter, upon this rock I will build my church.
Right.
Now, what rock was he talking about? Read about three verses above and you'll find out. When he came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am?
Yes.
Oh, they said, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you are Elijah, and others say you're Jeremiah, the prophet. But whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The next verse, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. What rock, Simon Peter? 10,000 times no. Upon the true identity of myself.
Right.
Upon the fact that I'm the Christ. I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church. Listen to me. He never did build but one.
Right.
He never did lay but one foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 proves that statement.
Right.
He never did lay but one foundation. He never did build but one church. He is not the head of but only one church. And when He returns again, He's coming for the church He built. In the beginning, hallelujah, He built one church. He died for one church. He sanctified one church. He justified one church. And when He comes again, He's coming for one church. You may say that's narrow preaching. You know, the Bible is one of the narrowest books you ever read in all your life. It's an error book.
Yes.
Jesus was an error. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes, yes.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
That's right.
That's so narrow. Did you ever notice, they always taught me that when you were talking about yourself and someone else, that you was to put the other party first and you second.
Uh-huh.
Like, now this is proper. Brother Rutledge and I are going out tonight for a steak, and he's going to pick up the tab. Now that's proper.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, now that's just as proper as it can be.
Yeah.
But did you ever notice when Jesus was talking one time, he said, I and my Father are one.
Yeah.
He didn't say my Father and I. He said I and my Father.
Yeah.
I and my Father are one.
Yeah.
Now, if I and my Father are one, which one? We know which one, don't we?
Yeah.
For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you have seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. That's what he said. Hallelujah. When you see me, you see him that sent me. It's not I that doeth these miracles, but it's my Father that liveth in me. He doeth these miracles. Upon the true identity of himself, he said, I'll build my church. I will build my church, not upon Simon Peter, but upon the rock, the fact of who I am, that I am the Christ. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall never be able to prevail against that church. Now, I want to raise this question with you tonight. Listen, I'm serious about this thing. I know the end of time is about here. You see, I'm searching. I'm grasping. I want to know more about God. I don't want to know less about God. I don't want my experience to become dim. I want it to grow brighter and brighter and brighter. I want more of God. I want more revelation of God. I want all the truth that he has. I want every little nugget of gold that I can pick from the Holy Scriptures. I want to take that. I want to embrace that. I want to believe that. I want everything that God has for me. I want that in my soul tonight. But if you'll notice the admonition in Revelation I read, that signifies opposition. When you're searching for more, don't give up what you already have. When you're reaching out for more, just hold what you already have. That's the admonition that he gives in the two verses I read in Revelation. Hold what you have. Hold fast that which I have. Because I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, and let no man take your crown. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And listen tonight, friend. I'm serious about what I'm preaching tonight. The time has arrived when we must believe, we must realize, as ever before, if he built this church, if he established this church, if his presence was in this church, then we must realize that the church will have a successful ending on the other side when he comes together unto himself, his own peculiar people.
That's right. That's right.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
It wouldn't do me any good to read the book of Acts and to find that they were full of zeal and full of truth and full of faith and full of grace and full of love. Would do me a bit of good to read all of that unless I could believe that the church that I'm in right now is a continuation of the early church from the day of Pentecost, and that this church was going to make it safely through to the other side. Hallelujah. Oh, listen, I'm preaching to you tonight. Just hold on just a little while longer. Hallelujah. Just hold on just a little while longer. Pray just a few more prayers and come to church just a few more times. Hallelujah. It won't be long until he's going to say, it's all finished, and your course is all finished, and now you're going to receive the crown of everlasting life.
Hallelujah.
It's all just about over.
Glory.
It's all just about over. Now somehow, if I can put a church in heaven tonight, and I'm going to do it before I get through.
Yes.
Let no man take your crown. Now, will the church fail? Will it hit the rock? Will it become a defeated thing? I'm preaching that it will not. I'm preaching that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former house. I'm preaching tonight that we are a continuation of the original apostolic church that had its birthday on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. I'm preaching that tonight, and I believe that tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you with me? Are you with me? Jesus said upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will never be able to prevail against the church that I'm going to build. I hold that tonight as a promise. It's a promise. It's a promise. Hallelujah. I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10. I want to read this scripture to you. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know what that's telling me? That's telling me that he's not going to fail. That's telling me that the church is not going to fail. That's telling me that he's going to bring many sons to glory. That's telling me that he's going to have a church in heaven. That's telling me that he built a church. That's telling me that he has been with his church from the day of Pentecost, when it spilled out into the street. They went everywhere preaching the word of God. That's telling me tonight that we are a continuation of that same church. Hallelujah. That's telling me that he's going to bring many sons in the glory. Hallelujah. That's telling me the church will never be defeated. Hallelujah. That's telling me there will be a church presented in heaven. Hallelujah. That ought to make you shout. You know what I'm going to tell you right now? If you can't shout over the word of God, never shout over a song. I'm not saying that because I'm not a singer. I'm telling you that because there'll be a day when you'll have nobody around you to sing you a pretty song. There'll be a day when you're going to walk through a desert place. There'll be a day when you may be afflicted and the fever is burning your body, such pain until it feels like somebody is walking up and down your back with hobnail boots on. Nobody's there to sing your song. But if you've hidden the word of God away in your heart, hallelujah, there's a reservoir of strength. I said there's a reservoir of strength, hallelujah, that you can draw. That word of God is powerful. That word of God has truth in it tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's able. He tasted death for every man. Hallelujah. He was the maker of all things. He was the creator of all things. But he condescended. He was always God. He came down in the form of man, but yet he did not cease to be God. He ascended to heaven in the form of a man and did not cease to be man. He's in heaven tonight. Hallelujah. He occupies the throne of eternal glory. And one day he shall arise from that throne and at the sound of a trump of God. Hallelujah. I've tried to envision the rapture at the sound of the trump of God. The head of my church is going to leave his throne in glory and start toward the earth. His body, which is his church, will arise, and they'll start toward heaven. And I come to somewhere in midair. The head will be joined to the body, and the Bible said, we shall forever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. We shall forever be with the Lord. Then tell me this is going to fail 10,000 times. No, my friend, it will never fail because the Lord said, I'm going to build it, and the gates of hell to prevail against the church that I'm going to build. Hallelujah.
Lord, Lord, Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'm going to tell you something tonight. I picked up a morning's paper before I left home. The Beaumont Enterprise, and I'm going to keep that. I turned over to the editorial page, and there's an article a man wrote. This summit they're going to have at Camp David said if that fails, it's the last chance for peace. This world is headed tonight for a united world. It's got to be. This thing's in a tangle, and we know it tonight. The church is headed for a united church. All of the religious denominations are letting down a little here and a little there and a little there. After a while, they're going to say, why don't we all get together? We are going to the same place. And a lady told me that not long ago said, we're all going to the same place. She said, it's like going to Chicago. Said, the different routes, but we all going the same place. I said, lady, we're not going to Chicago. I said, we're going to heaven. And I said, we're all not going to the same place.
That's right.
That old doctrine about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, that's not taught in the Bible. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. See, there's two fathers. That's God the Father, and the devil is the father of people. They're not my brothers. If that's the way it is, I've got a lot of nasty brothers running around.
That's right.
But that's not the way it is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We belong to the family of God. Hallelujah. He's ahead of our family. We're headed for a united world when a man that's called the beast, the man of sin, will dictate to the world a systemized form of government. We're headed towards a united church where the false prophet will be the head of it and church and state will be joined together. And the scripture tells me that everything that came out of Babylon is going back to Babylon. Everything that came out of the mother of harlots is going back from the mother of harlots. And here's the way it is. My friends, when all the daughters go back to mother, you and I are going home to father. Hallelujah. Thank God, we're going home to father. Hallelujah. Damn it tonight. We're going home to father. We're going home to father. It can't fail. It will not fail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can't compromise, but we got to preach the old time, heaven-sent, inspired word of God. No wonder Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going to bring many sons to glory. Many sons to glory. The work that he has begun in you, he's able to finish it. Hallelujah! When you first believed in him and started to walk as a child of God, just remember one day he's going to finish that work. You know, one day I went to a radio factory, and I was very much impressed. They started down here at the end of the assembly line. And that chassis of that radio never stopped. There's girls seated on each side of a belt. And each one of them had a little something to do. Until at last, that radio came out down here as a finished product. Then they took belts and they hung up that radio. And they took rubber hammers and they turned it on. And what was playing, they started hammering on that radio with rubber hammers to see if there's in a loose connection. And you wonder sometimes on this assembly line why that you are almost beat to death with rubber hammers. The Lord just trying you out to see if there's in a loose connection in there anywhere. Right? You see, we're on the assembly line tonight, right? Hallelujah, we're on the assembly line. And you see, those girls, each one of them just had a little to do with the radio. Soldered a little here, and there was a tube and a little condenser. And you see, everybody that comes by to preach, you're on this assembly line, and he does a little something to you here. And you know, you might get a little sore when he gets through, or before he gets through, you'll say, I'll never come back anymore. You know why? He touched a faulty connection. And he's trying to sort it up where you'd be in tune. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, some radios just can't play.
Right.
Faulty connection.
Right.
Burned out tube.
Uh-huh.
Bad switch. Man, am I ever preaching tonight?
Yeah, you are.
Hallelujah. I went to one place and I preached so long. I was going to preach two nights, and the man told me after I got through the first night, now he said, we're not paying you by the hour. I don't know. I'm just going to say this. I asked, I don't know, I like to talk about Revelation and the rapture and the tribulation and all of that. It's all in the Bible. And I was curious to know, and someone told me not long ago, he said, the church, the bride, has to go through the great tribulation. Well, I said, why? He said, to perfect the saints. I said, what about the church that's already dead? I said, they're not going through tribulation to be perfected. He looked at me and said, I never thought about it like that. I said, tribulation doesn't perfect anybody. You know what perfects the church? It's not tribulation, the preaching of the word. That perfects the church. Am I right? Now, when the gospel gets hard for you, just say, Pastor, don't make it easy. Just make it true. Just preach it. Just preach it. Strange, you know. People are funny. Whoever coined that phrase that people are funny, they hit the nail on the head. You can be out mowing your lawn, it's so hot, 12 o'clock, sweat running down your face, your mower running, your neighbor will amble across the street. Out of respect, you'll cut the motor off, and he'll walk up, he'll say, what you doing? And you cut your yard just as hard as you can cut it.
Yeah.
I was dressed up one morning in the post office early, and a man said, why are you so dressed up? He said, where are you going? Well, I said, I'm going to a funeral. He said, did somebody die? Now, that's right. People are funny.
Yeah.
You'll fuss and grumble till your vacation time comes. I want to get away from everybody. I've just been around people. I never was so tired and upset in my life. I want to get away from everybody.
Yeah.
And you'll drive about 300 miles the first day, register at a motel, go through the lobby, pick up a dozen postcards, and go to your room and write a dozen friends and say, having a good time. I wish you were here.
Yeah.
It's so funny. So funny.
Yeah.
You go fishing and come back with a string of fish, and somebody says, did you catch those?
Yeah.
As if the fish went berserk and jumped in the boat and said, put me on a string. I want to go home with you. That's how funny folks are. Just as long as you're preaching what folks believe, man, you're the best preacher in the world. But you cross them. You become a sticker.
Yeah.
Take a tomcat up in your arms and rub the fur all day long, and he'll purr. But you rub it the wrong way and he'll spit in your eyeball. No, never get your feathers ruffled about the preaching of the gospel. It takes that to perfect you. It takes that to save you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I found the source. We're on the assembly line tonight. I said, we're on the assembly line tonight. It takes pastor, teacher, evangelist. God put him in the church to preach. That it might perfect the saints. Hallelujah. Amen. We're on this center line tonight. I watch people. Some come in on Sunday morning, barely able to make it, with a Bible under their arm. Looks like they have a date with a flogging machine. And when they go out at 12, it looks like they have been flogged. But I read a scripture where it says, I was glad when they said unto me, come and let us go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah! I generally stand at the front door on Sunday mornings when people going out the door. And one morning, the lady came walking to the door.
She had her hair frizzed. She looked like she kissed a light socket. And she come walking out. She said, "That's a dry service I ever saw in my life." I said, "You old dried up basket of shucks, what did you do to make it any better?"
Yeah.
You know the reason folks are living so dry? They're down in the desert. They ought to pull up their tent stakes and move down to the river. Hallelujah. And move down to the river and let the joy of the Lord become your strength. Hallelujah. Get out of the desert and get down to the river. Hallelujah. Because that's where the living water is.
Hallelujah. He's going to present many sons to glory. Hallelujah. And if I can just get that church in heaven, I'm going to leave you shouting tonight. Hallelujah. And I'm going to get it there. You wait. Listen, I'm going to get it in heaven. You just wait. Hallelujah. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing tonight. We're going to get the church in heaven. Well, this means more to me than the great event that took place in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Man, if I didn't have this experience, what good would that do me? What good would that do me? I want to have what they had. I want to go where they went. Hallelujah. I want to go to the book of Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4 and Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. Now, we're going to get these two scriptures here. In studying the book of Revelation, if you notice, the first chapter introduces the book and the character of the book, the main character, that's Jesus. Then, chapters 2, 3, and 4, or really chapter 2 and 3, deals with the seven churches. And then chapter 4 and chapter 5 are scenes in heaven. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4 and find out what John saw. Let's read.
And round about the throne,
there were 24 elders.
And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting.
Now there was 24 seats, and upon the 24 seats I saw 24 elders.
Clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold.
Now let's go to chapter 5 and verse 8.
And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, the four and twenty elders.
Now the 24 elders
fell down before the Lamb, having one of them harps, and golden vials full of orders, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song.
Saying,
Thou worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof.
For thou wast slain,
and hast redeemed us to God,
by thy blood,
for
out of every kindred,
tongue, and people,
and nation.
And that has made us unto our God
King
and priest,
and we shall reign on the earth.
Hallelujah.
And I beheld. Now wait, just hold that just a minute.
Glory. Hallelujah.
This group was not angels.
All right.
Angels have never been saved and they've never been lost.
Uh-huh.
They've never been redeemed. The angels are the work of his hand.
Hallelujah.
The church is the travail of his soul.
Sure.
This group was redeemed by his blood.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
The 24 elders is a representative number.
Huh?
And I could go into a whole long sermon here. I feel like it, but I've got to continue on. They were redeemed unto God. See, I preach that the blood of Jesus Christ is able to cleanse a man from his sin.
Sure is. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
These were not angels.
Right.
These were kings and priests.
Praise God.
You'll never find in the scripture where angels has ever been called elders.
Mm-hmm.
These were 24 elders.
Thank you.
Peter said, "I am an apostle and an elder."
Right. Amen.
Now, that's right. That's what the scripture said.
Say,
so this was not angels. This is a redeemed group.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory, 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 glory.
I want to tell you something that happened one time. A man was a drunkard. And I'm going to say this, and I trust I'm on safe ground.
Yes.
And I just want to say this through no criticism, because I told you I wasn't going to criticize anybody. But I want to tell you something. People can come to our altars, that's dope addicts, drunkards, pray through, and the first thing we want them to testify of how God delivered them from dope. That's wonderful. While the young people that's never felt the sting of a needle, they've never wallowed in their filth, they don't get a chance to testify. They say you've never been delivered from anything. They've been kept from it, which is just as great as being delivered from it.
That's good, brother.
Right?
Right.
I was holding a crusade some time ago. I preached 8 nights in a big church, and a young person had been overheard to say, I ought to go out and get under the influence of dope and come and get delivered, and then I'd have a chance to stand up behind the pulpit and testify what God has done for me.
My Lord.
Listen to me tonight, friend. You listen to me. The church is designed to save broken lives. It's designed to save a life before it's ever broken. And listen, this is a true story. A man was a drunkard. Every Friday evening he'd get his paycheck and he'd start home and stop at the tavern. Wouldn't get home till late that night or early the next morning. Family almost on starvation. Hardly no groceries, no furniture in the house. But one day somebody told him about Jesus. And he got the Holy Ghost. You men that work on public jobs, you know this to be the fact. There's always a smart aleck in the crowd. If you've got a group of men, there's somebody smart in there somewhere.
Right, right, right.
So they found it out, and a fella walked up one day and asked him, he said, I hear you join the Pentecostal church. Well, he said, I got the Holy Ghost. He said, do you believe all the Bible? Oh, yes, the man said, I believe all of it. He said, I believe all the Bible. And you know what happened to this man? The strangest thing, when he got the Holy Ghost, he got his paycheck on that Friday, and he started home, and he never stopped at the tavern. He went right on home. The next day being Saturday, they went to town, bought groceries, and bought furniture. Next Sunday, went to church. Then a few weeks later, this smart fella said, I hear you joined the Pentecostal church.
Yeah.
Well, he said, I got the Holy Ghost. He said, you believe all the Bible? He said, sure. He said, can you explain all of it? He said, well, I don't know about that. He said, I haven't been here very long. He said, you believe that about Jesus turning the water to wine? Oh, yes, he said, I believe that. He said, explain it. He said, man, he said, I can't explain it. He said, all I know that the Bible said he turned water to wine. But he said, I tell you what I can explain. I can explain to you in my life how Jesus Christ turned beer into furniture.
Glory.
You see, that's redemption. That's what I'm talking about tonight.
Redeemed.
Redeemed. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Redeemed from sin. Redeemed unto God. Plunged in the fountain of sinner and came out a blood-washed child of God. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Redemption. Redemption. This group had been redeemed to God by His blood.
Hallelujah.
Now let's read on the next verse and see what he has to say here.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
And I beheld. And I heard the voice of many angels.
And I heard the voice of many angels.
Round about the throne.
Round about the throne.
And the beast.
And the beast.
And the elders.
And the elders. Now notice this.
And the number of them was
10,000
times.
Unto God, plunged in the fountain of sinner and came out a blood-washed child of God, filled with the Holy Ghost. Redemption, redemption. This group had been redeemed to God by His blood.
Hallelujah.
Now let's read on the next verse and see what he has to say here.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
And I beheld. And I heard the voice of many angels.
And I heard the voice of many angels.
Round about the throne.
Round about the throne.
And the beast.
And the beast.
And the elders.
And the elders. Now notice this.
And the number of them was
10,000
times
10,000
and thousands of thousands. Glory. Hallelujah.
Somebody said, a Pentecostal meeting makes me so nervous.
Glory.
See, I'm getting in practice. When I get over there, there's going to be 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You see, I'm putting the church in heaven.
Yes.
You see, it started at Pentecost, and I'm just bringing it all the way through. He's able to present many sons to glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's what I'm preaching on tonight. This church is not going to fail. No, my friend. This church is going to heaven. Hallelujah. That's right. Praise God.
Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah.
I never saw so many nervous people in my life. As nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. They're dodging everything, so they go to bed with a pill, they get up with a pill, they take a pill at noontime to keep going. My God, have mercy, what everybody needs is a good case of old-time religion. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And that would ease a lot of the problems of this nervous generation. The doctors are getting rich.
Yes.
Awful people that's nervous. Oh, I'm so nervous. So nervous.
Yeah, tell us that.
Mixed up generation.
Right.
Mixed up. Uh-huh. Fellow saw his neighbor walking out across his lawn with a rope about 6-7 feet long, dragging it around. He went over there and he said, "What's going on?" He said, "I'm so mixed up, I don't know if I've lost a cow or found a rope." So many depressed people, you know, depressed. One time I heard about a husband, he got so depressed, he said, "I don't have a thing in the world to live for, I'm going to shoot myself." Oh, his wife said, "You've got a lot to live for. The house is not paid for, the car's not paid for, the wash is not paid for, the dryer's not paid for, the trailer's not paid for, the fish camp's not paid for, you've got a lot to live for."
Yeah.
He looked at her and said, "I don't know how you could be so beautiful and yet be so dumb." With a twinkle in her eye and a smile on her lips, she said, "I know why I'm beautiful. God made me beautiful so you'd love me.
Uh-huh.
He made me dumb so I'd love you."
Yeah.
So people are mixed up.
Yeah.
Now that's the truth. But I'm trying to get you into heaven tonight. Hallelujah. They're saying with a loud voice. Come on. Come on. Now notice what he said. Read it right now. Come on. Hallelujah.
Saying
it. No, with a little weak voice.
No, loud voice.
Oh, we got a lot of nervous folks in heaven now, and we got to kind of take it easy.
Saying with a loud voice.
Because somebody might have a nervous flare-up or a nervous breakdown.
Loud.
No, saying with a loud voice.
Saying with a loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
That was slain.
To receive.
Power.
Riches.
And wisdom.
And strength.
And honor.
And glory.
And blessing. And every creature.
Which is in heaven,
and on the earth,
and on the earth,
and under the earth,
and such as are in the sea,
and on the land,
hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Praise God. Praise
Hallelujah.
God. Come on, I want you to read that again.
Hallelujah.
Stand up, sister, and shout. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Every creature.
No, let's start it all over again.
Glory. Saying. With a loud voice.
Glory.
Loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb.
You see, I'm putting the church in heaven.
Right.
Not as a defeated church. Not as an imperfect church.
Oh.
Not as a church that's not finished its course.
Right.
I'm putting it in heaven with a diploma. Praise God. And it's all said with a loud voice.
Worthy is the Lamb. That was slain.
To receive power.
And riches.
And wisdom.
And strength.
And honor.
And glory.
And blessing.
And every creature.
Which is in heaven.
And on the earth.
And under the earth.
And such as are in the sea.
Them I heard saying.
Blessed.
And honor.
And glory.
And power.
Be unto them.
Him.
Them.
Be unto him.
Them.
Him.
Have it your way.
Be unto him. That glory and power. Be unto him. Hallelujah. Just the part. Glory unto him. What did they give to him?
Blessings.
Blessing.
And honor.
And honor.
And glory.
And glory.
And power.
And power.
Be unto him that sitteth upon the throne.
Be unto him that sitteth upon the throne. Just lift your hands and thank God for that tonight. Hallelujah. Now, am I preaching too long?
No.
I've got one more scripture. I've just got to read Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. You see, I'm trying to preach to you tonight that the church that had its birthday at Pentecost has survived. And it's going all the way through. He's going to present many sons to glory. Now, if I can just get this church in heaven, I'm going to leave here shouting myself. If I can just get this church in heaven,
glory,
and I'm going to get it there. In fact, I've already got it there in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. But let's go to Ephesians 5:25 now.
Husbands.
Husbands.
Love your wives.
Love your wives.
Even as Christ also.
Even as Christ also.
Loved the church.
Now, what did he love?
The church.
Now, he loved the church.
Right.
Now, read.
And gave himself for it.
For what?
For the church.
For the church.
Right.
Now, somebody says, go to the church of your choice. That's fine if you make the right choice. Now, what did he love?
He loved the church.
He loved the church. Uh-huh. What did he die for? He died for the church.
Amen.
Come to think of it, I got two more scriptures I got to use. And gave himself for it.
That's right.
Now read.
That he might sanctify
the church. That he might sanctify
and cleanse
the church. And cleanse the church.
Right.
That's what I'm preaching tonight.
Right.
That he might sanctify and cleanse the church.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
With the washing of water.
No, by tribulation.
By the washing of water.
No, the washing of water.
By the word.
By the word.
Praise God. That he might present it to himself.
Just a minute now.
Huh?
That's been there all the time. A lot of folks, they never stop to realize what that means.
Uh-huh.
That he might sanctify it, cleanse it, justify it, wash it, cleanse it, and then present it
to himself.
Now, I preached this one time, and a man said, why did he present it to himself? I said, reason number one, there's nobody else to present it to.
Right.
And reason number two is his, and he is not going to present it to anybody else. The church is his bride.
That's right.
He's not going to give it away to somebody else.
Right.
He's going to present it to himself.
That's right.
One time, just before Christmas, I saw something downtown that I wanted. And I hinted to every member of my family. You know, they never paid me no attention. I waited as late as I could on Christmas Eve, and I went down and I bought that. And I went back to the place. I said, lady, where do you get a gift wrap? She said, right back there, and I went back there. I said, now, lady, I want the prettiest, the most expensive paper that you've got in this store put on this package.
Yes.
And I said, I want the prettiest boar ribbon that you've got put on this package. She said, this must be for a very special person. I said, you ain't kidding, it is. Now, she said, would you want a card? I said, yes, ma'am, I want a card. The prettiest card you have. She said, now, what would you want on the card? I said, I want on the card from W.E. Gamblin to W.E. Gamblin. She said, run that by me again. I said, all right. I said, I want on the card from W.E. Gamblin to W.E. Gamblin. She said, all right. And that night when they was all opening up their gifts, I walked in the bedroom and I got my gift that I had bought for myself. And I stood in the middle of the living room and I presented it to myself. It was mine. I bought it.
Yeah.
This church is his. He bought it. He sanctified it. He justified it. And he's going to present it to himself. To himself. is his. Hallelujah. Is his.
God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Now, I'm going to tell you what they teach, and I'll show you what we teach. Then you can have your choice if you choose right. They teach that Christ is now ruling in his kingdom. His church is his kingdom. His kingdom is his church. But when the day of grace is over and the church is raptured into heaven, Christ is going to take his church, his kingdom. He's going to give it to the Father, and he's going to step down from all rule and authority, and he is going to be our elder brother in the kingdom forever. If that be true, God the Father is going to take his son's wife in eternity. After Jesus came, courted his church for 2,000 years, cleansed it, sanctified it, justified it. Then, when he marries his wife, takes her to the marriage supper of the Lamb, great celebration, then turns around and gives his wife over to his Father, then he steps down and becomes our elder brother in the kingdom. That don't make common nonsense. The way it is, Christ is coming for his bride. And he's going to take his bride to heaven. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise God. Hallelujah. Forever and forever. We'll walk around the throne. We'll praise and glorify him. Hallelujah. Because he got us to heaven. Now let's read on.
Praise God, that he might present it
to himself.
To himself a glorious church,
not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing,
or
but
or
that it should be holy and without blemish.
And without blemish.
Now read on.
So ought men to love
their wives.
As their own bodies.
As their own bodies. Now wait a minute, I'm going to prove something to you. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
He that loveth his
he
wife,
that loveth his wife
loveth himself.
Loveth himself.
For no man ever yet hated his own
flesh. For no man ever yet hated
his own flesh.
His own flesh.
But nourished it.
But nourished it
and
cherished it.
Even
the Lord,
the church.
Now we know.
For we are members of his body. And his flesh.
And his flesh.
And of his bones.
And of his bones.
Uh-huh.
You see, we are part of him. Flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And no man yet ever hated his own flesh.
Right. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's a part of us and we are part of him.
That's right.
Now, what did the Lord tell Adam when he gave him his wife? In a Sunday school class one day, teacher asked a little class of girls, said, why did God make a woman? The little girl said, I know. Said he made man and looked him over. He said, I can do better than that. And he made a woman. But you know, when the Lord brought Eve to Adam, now he said, this is flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone.
Right.
The first man, Adam, was the earthy. The second man was the Lord from heaven. Adam had a bride, came out of his side.
Right.
The Lord from heaven has a bride. The solution came out of his side to produce himself a bride. Blood and water. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. We are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And no man ever yet hated his own flesh.
Right.
Now come on.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother,
and his mother,
and shall be joined to his
and
wife,
and shall be joined to his wife,
and they two
and
shall
they
be
two
one flesh.
Shall be one flesh.
This is a great mystery.
This is a great mystery.
But I speak concerning Christ and the church.
And the church.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know, scripture is beautiful.
Amen.
Going to present it to himself. We are part of it.
Uh-huh.
He's going to get us to heaven.
Hallelujah.
The work he begun in us, he's going to finish it. Hallelujah.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, Pastor, come out here.
Thank you, Jesus.
And get me Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1, and then I'm going to close and listen.
Hallelujah.
When I get through preaching and I close this old book, listen, I have an old Bible, and I love that old book tonight. I've preached it. I've gone all over this country.
Glory.
In my time, I've preached for near 50 years. And I've swallowed bugs from Maine to California. One night, I was preaching in Maine, and I had my mouth so wide open, I guess a bug thought he was flying outside, and he flew in. And somebody got me a glass of water. I said, no, I'm not going to drink no water. I'm going to let him walk down. And I preached in brush arbors and tents, street corners, deserted schoolhouses, just everywhere, just a preaching. I love it. God knows I love it. Praise God. Listen, I could preach to midnight, never get tired. Man, I'm just as fresh as I was last night. And listen, last night I preached. And I'm preaching tonight. And I'm going to Baton Rouge next week for a tent meeting. One of these old-time apostolic tent revivals. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. Praise God. I like it. Uh-huh. And I was preaching a camp meeting one time, and I just somehow, I don't know, when I'm preaching, I just come up on this one God doctrine. It's the strangest thing in the world. I don't look for it, but I just come up on it somehow. No, just somehow I find it.
Yeah.
And in Genesis 5:1, this has been in the scripture all the time, and I preached the camp meeting one time, thousands of people, and when I got through, some older preachers came up and said, Brother Gamblin said, we've seen that in the Bible, but we never did apply it like you have, and they said, I want to thank you for it. Genesis 5:1, and I want to take a point to your heart tonight, never forget it, and when I lay this microphone down and I pick up that Bible and I turn to this chair and I turn this service to your pastor, this congregation ought to be on your feet with your hands raised to God with a song book in your hand or a handkerchief or something. You know what? Somebody ought to run around these walls tonight when I read Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. Here it is. Hallelujah! Here it is. Read it.
This is the book of the generations.
This is the book of the generations of Adam.
In the day God created man.
That God created man.
In the likeness of God.
Of God.
Made he him. Thank God.
Read on.
Male and female.
Created he them.
And blessed them. And called their name Adam. In the day when they were created.
What does that mean? Mm-hmm. The first Adam, his wife took his name.
Mandalakia.
The second man, the Lord from glory, his wife is going to take his name. Hallelujah! When he comes, when our bridegroom comes, he's coming looking for the people of his name. His name, his name. We have his name. We must have his name, his name. We must have his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.